Last Sunday, we talked about the prophet of love. And this Sunday, we're talking about the prophet of love. But we spelled the word different last time, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, and this time, P-R-O-F-I-T. And that's because in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 13, verse 3, it says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Joy is the prophet of love. When Jesus gave the commandment to love, a part of the what he was saying right in that context was that I am telling you these things so that your joy may be complete. And then he said, "Love each other the way I have loved you. This is my commandment." There's a song about that. Let's see if we can sing it. We'll do it twice because some people know it, some don't, won't know it until after the ones that do know it, sing it. "This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love something that kind of elusive thing that we look everywhere for, and it's difficult to find, and when we have it, it's difficult sort of sometimes to hang on to. So that's a good verse and a good thing to remember and to sing over in our minds to remind us how we get the joy and the happiness that we want out of life. That really is our number one benefit of life, is it the thing that makes us, that's what is happiness. It's a joy that transcends the sorrows and the struggles and the difficulties that we face every day, the challenges that we encounter. It's that sense of overriding eternal happiness that the world didn't give it to us and the world can't take it away. That kind of a joy that is just there and abiding. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We mentioned that love is the first fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit working in your life and you are responding to and receiving and following the guidance of the Holy Ghost and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you are living a life where love is your goal and you're pursuing this, and love, God's love is growing inside of you. And then also joy. Here's the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul listed them to Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In this passage that Becky read, John chapter 3, one of the most familiar passages to everybody, believer and unbeliever alike, because it has some of those key provisions in there that Jesus was talking about being born again, born of the Spirit, and of having faith in Him, with John 3:16, and how that God did not want to condemn anybody, but wants to save everybody is why Jesus has come. And it speaks to us of spiritual rebirth and a life in the Spirit. Even speaks, even gives us this picture of Jesus and heaven, because he says that he is able to testify to these things, and that everybody can't do that because everybody hasn't been to heaven, but that he came down from heaven and is in heaven. So that gives us a little insight, because he was standing there with everybody, and yet in his spirit he was also in heaven as well as in earth, and he was in that place of perfect joy and love and peace that we all seek. And speaking to us, and even, you know, the trials and everything that he went through, and the struggles and difficulties are not hidden. Everybody's familiar with all of that, from his birth to the cross and all. But yet there he was, able to sustain this sense of eternal life and joy throughout it all. And he invites us to do the same. And so we're having a revival here, so we can have love like this in our hearts, because that's such love. There's a song about that. Such love, such wondrous love. And this spiritual rebirth is a rebirth of love. It's regeneration to a new life of love. We're born of the of water and of the Spirit. We place our faith in Jesus Christ. And as John, who wrote about Jesus saying about being born again here, he also explained further in his letter in 1 John 4:7-8. And we might as well sing that too, because I've said it several times, but let's see if we can remember how to sing it. No, I can't. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Those who do not love do not know God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Want to try it again, or you want to just let the moment pass? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Those who do not love do not know God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Okay, there's another song. Let's have it on the screen. We've been practicing this one up here in this verse. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Amen. Well, in this verse, one of the things it talks about is philanthropy. And we can be the best giver in the world. We could give everything, even our substance, our body, everything. And but if we didn't have love, then it would not profit us anything. And so, philanthropy is a pretty major thing in the world. It's just something that we rely on so much for all of our institutions and our organizations. It's necessary for just about, really all of our charitable things that are done in the world rely on the goodness of people who feel led to give, and they feel something in them that makes them and makes us want to give and support the things that we believe in and the things that are important to us, and especially those things that help other people that wouldn't be able to enjoy those benefits without them. And everything from small to large, and institutions that have been handed down through the centuries, as well as things that come up in the community all of a sudden and needs that to be met. the generosity of God's people is just wonderful, and able to do so much just from what people want to do and in our hearts that we feel like doing. In Proverbs 19:17, it says how that giving to the poor is like lending money to God. He will repay with interest. And in Matthew, Jesus gave this image for us to hold on to about how if anyone gives anybody, even the least person, just a little tiny cup of cold water in his name, said, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. And that reminds me about this one man that used to stand up at testimony time every time in the service, and every Sunday he would have some example about how God had blessed him that week, and he would say, God is the best paymaster that there ever was, because he would cause to repay way more than what we can ever give. He returns, it's like that God, you can't outgive God. And that's who would say that. And it has stuck with me all my life, because this has been many decades ago. But there was it's not really the amount that we give, but what we're giving of ourselves in that. And because, like, you remember when Jesus was sitting by the treasury in this church where they, instead of passing offering plate, they had a box back there, and everybody would just put their money in there as they came and went, that they wanted to offer it. Some people put in lots of money, and some people put in a little. But as he was sitting there, he noticed this one woman came over and put in just a couple of cents. But he called his disciples over and said, you see this lady here? She really didn't have hardly any money, and she put that in there. But here's the difference. She gave all she had to live on the kingdom of the Lord. And so that's a challenge there for all of us to think about as we give, and trusting the Lord with our substance and with the work that we do or whatever it is that we're doing. But then there was another man that Jesus was preaching one day, and this guy came by, and he said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so he said, well, you want to, you know, keep all the rules and everything. You want to live a good life and keep the commandments. And he kind of talked with him like that. And he said, well, I've been doing all that all my life. What else need I do? And Jesus said, well, you just have one more thing you need to do then. You've got it all covered there. Just one more thing. Go and sell everything you have. Give the money to the poor. And come back and follow me. And that isn't like, you know, that's not what he wanted to hear. And so it said that this rich young ruler went away very sad. Went away sad. And so he missed the joy. In other words, you know, he missed that joy that he could have had in trusting Christ and following him. Because for him, you know, the things of the world meant more. And that, so that too is a challenge for all of us, because we see from throughout the scripture that this wasn't a requirement of everybody that would sell everything and give it all to the poor. But it is a requirement that we want the joy of the Lord more than we want anything else. That we want this life of love more than we want any other life. And if we don't, then whatever's keeping us from that is what we're trading our soul for, in a way of speaking. You know. So that's the one part there that is addressed, the issue that it raises here, that no matter how much we give of ourselves or our substance, without agape, without that kind of love that the Bible is speaking of here, well, then it doesn't profit us anything. And the other thing that Paul brings up and we unpack out of this verse is martyrdom. If I give my body to be burned, if I give my whole, give myself until even my body is destroyed as a martyr, then if I don't have love, there's no profit to that. Of course, the greatest martyr that comes to our mind of all is Jesus, who gave of himself in every conceivable way, and even death on the cross, for the joy, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. And then a stream of others following. There's Stephen, the first martyr to follow him, and then the apostles and others of that generation that continue to give of themselves and who lost their lives because of being a follower of Jesus. And that has continued on, just got worse throughout the times of the Roman Empire, and then in the Middle Ages. There's all kinds of records to look at, and there's a book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, that just tells about martyrs in one little slice, but there's so many of them in one little slice of history in one little part of the world. There's just so much down through history of people who have suffered so much and given so much for the cause of Christ. And then in the modern era, the 20th century is said to be that more people were killed for their faith in the 20th century than in all the rest of the centuries put together up to that time. And even now in our news today, it's a part of our really daily news, isn't it, that Christians are being persecuted and violently in many parts of the world for their faith and in horrible ways. In Revelation 6, it says, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony. That's just like for this. In other words, for what we've been doing here in this service today, sharing the word of God, singing about it, having people read about it and talk about it, and giving our testimony of what God has blessed us with, sharing our faith like this. And white robes were given to every one of them. And yeah, Paul said, and if I have not charity, even this profiteth me nothing. So what kind of profit is there in love, in agape, in caring as God cares, in having, reflecting the character of God, that caring and love for one another that God has, that Jesus said like this, like I have done, love one another like I have loved you. Agape, love. Well, it's the providence is one thing. In Luke, when he talked about judging not, they be not judged, he also coupled that, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, that passage that was the first one that I ever memorized, but I don't know if I can really say it now, but as a child, my first longer passage I ever memorized, in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, give no thought for the morrow will give thought to the things of itself. But, don't be saying, like, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? God knows that you have all of these needs, and he is making arrangements for that and trusting on that. but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And then he had the parable where people said, well, what about us? Some of the disciples, they said, what about us? We've given up our homes and families and everything to follow you. And he said, everyone who makes an investment in the kingdom of God, whatever you make, will receive many times back over whatever you put into it. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And that's what the other man, Mr. Womack was his name, down at Westmoreland, outside of Westmoreland. And he would stand up in church and he would say, God is the greatest paymaster. You just count out and give God. No matter what you put into it, you're going to get more back out of it. And that's just like the tip of the iceberg, because there is also the fellowship that we share. It's not necessary that we get back from something from somebody that we gave something to. We don't give in order. In fact, it won't work if you give in order to get that reward. It won't work. You know, it has to be that you're forgetting about that and you're giving of yourself because of what it just says right here. If it's any other way, if it's not love, then it is not going to work. It's not going to. You're not going to profit from it. You just have to give and trust. Give of yourself and not be expecting the person that you give to be the one who returns that gift. God will work that out some other way for your whatever benefits you're going to get. It might not even be the same thing or the like kind or anything. It will be something that, you know, as we share with others what they need, you know, others share with us what we need. And that's like that unending connection and fellowship that we share as believers. And really, moreover, though we have this fellowship with those who share the mind of Christ, that's what we're moving into. The Spirit is leading us into where we think and feel and act like Jesus. We love as Christ loved. That's what we're learning how to do together. And so we are sharing in this mind of Christ, the like mind. There's a lot of things, as I've mentioned before, where we are totally diverse from one another. We have all these different views and attitudes and feelings and everything else with each other here and with the rest of the world. But in all of that, we have all these ways of Christ that are rising to the surface in our thoughts and feelings and becoming really who we are. We're becoming like who God made us to be. And as he created us in his image, that's who we're restoring to and becoming. So that becomes a fellowship of believers. Wherever we are in that believing, and whatever our beliefs them individually might be, we're a fellowship of people who believe in God, and we are placing our confidence in Christ, as he talked about to Nicodemus in John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So we're in that eternal life group of people, you know, that are thinking about eternal life and united in the giving of ourselves and our substance. We're a part of the church, the gateway to heaven itself. And then heaven. And own that love is heaven. We enter into that now. We're not fully in yet, right? I mean, that's why we have these other challenges and difficulties. But the time will come when those are gone. When there will be no more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death. And everything is perfect peace and love and harmony. That's what we're moving into. That's happening in our lives. It's happening in this room. It's happening in our community when we reach out and love the people around us as Christ has loved us. We're creating that sense of harmony and bringing them into it. Until that's just in this life, what we can do here. But now in the life of the world to come, all that is brought into its perfect glory. And it continues forever without end. Perfect love in earth and in heaven. So here's our invitation. From Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works." You're invited to just step out this morning into the aisle, make your way to the altar, and kneel down and pray for your part in this time of revival of love according to where you are spiritually at this hour. Ask Jesus to come into your heart that you might be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Commit yourself to that personal saving relationship and to study and emulate his life and teachings and follow him. Implement his teachings in your life and unite with the body, his body, with the church, and engage the world in the discipleship, people who love one another. In the name of Jesus.